Welcome to another episode of Innovation Odyssey. Today I have with me in the studio the wonderful Jacqueline Legrand, who is the CEO and co-founder of Maptix. Welcome, Jacqueline. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me in your studio.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I'm always very happy to have an InsurTech peer in the studio, and even more wonderful when it's a female founder. There aren't so many of them out there. But before I start, I'm sorry, I really love jewelry and I can see your necklace. That's really caught my attention. Is that from the US? Is it from Europe?
It's from France, and I love it because it has this dove, the bird, which for me is a symbol of a woman, you know, flying and growing together.
Fantastic. Oh, that's such a great introduction to. I always ask the founders, who are you and what do you do?
So briefly, I started my career in technology with IBM, mm-hmm. and then I joined the insurance industry over two decades ago, where I had executive and board level position in brokerage companies in France, the US, Portugal, even in Brazil. And mm-hmm. in 2019, I left the brokerage industry and I went from insurance to and technology to InsurTech. So now I am bringing all my experiences and network into the project that we call Maptix, for mapping and analytics, which is an insurtech company that uses geospatial analytics technology to help insurance professionals better understand property risk exposure.
Okay, and but you use only geospatial data?
Not only. We use property data and also geospatial data, yes.
Okay, and I'm going to assume the name means map analytics?
Absolutely, like mapping and analytics. The first client we had, we didn't have a name. It was like we built a software for our first client. And then when mm-hmm. we start with a second client, in a rush, we had to incorporate the company and find a name. So we went for Maptix because of mapping plus analytics, exactly to your assumption.
And looking back at your career, why did you move from IBM to insurance?
It was a coincidence, really, like a lot of people in my generation in the insurance industry. So I joined this field because I accepted a very exciting career opportunity from the CEO of a brokerage called TRM in Paris. And to tell the truth, and I didn't dare tell this person, I had no idea what was an insurance broker. And at that time, really, I had no idea of the importance of the insurance industry in business, in the society, even in the world, in terms of premium volumes in the economy. And throughout the years, I really fell in love. I realized how insurance and risk management are at the heart of business, of the society, and really how you need to understand the world to help your client navigate in a fast-changing risk landscape. So I think it's not a dusty or outdated industry like a lot of people from the outside tend to think.
The world of brokers and agents are different from the world of insurance carriers. Am I correct?
Yes, although it's an ecosystem, and I think that there is a growing importance that everybody work hand in hand, from the insureds, risk manager, to the brokers and insurance, to keep insurance sustainable in the long run.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that agents and brokers are more or less amenable to accepting new technologies and putting them in practice than insurance carriers?
I see, what I see is in our case, we see the brokerage moving faster. I think they are really embracing innovation because it is a way for them to deliver better services to their client as middlemen. They have this proximity with clients. And today, I think it's all about technology plus expertise plus data plus, of course, a good level of service. And I think there is room for the broker and the agent to be part of the game, and because they're so close to their client, to help with technology, help better their client. It's a way for them to justify their service fees and to acquire more clients, to retain their clients. So I see a lot of traction recently, I have to say. Yeah.
Now, can you explain a little bit more what Maptix does?
Sure. So what we do is, it's a geospatial platform, and we integrate into Maptix the property data of our clients, meaning the buildings of our clients, and we integrate a la carte external data that could be climate risk data, that could be building attributes coming from a specialized external provider using satellite plus AI and other technologies or governmental agencies. So, for example, we signed recently with Munich Re, so we have now the Munich Re climate risk data. We have the climate change data from the IPCC. We have real-time weather data coming every 6 hours into Maptix for tropical storms, earthquakes, and the like around the world with an alert system. And then we have also FEMA, and other governmental agencies' data. We have building attributes. We signed with TensorFlight. And we are going to have a few more partnerships with good geospatial data provider, because we are not a data provider. Think about us as a geospatial data aggregator that allows our clients to develop geospatial analytics, see their accumulations in certain area, get alert on real-time weather and take some step for risk mitigation or do some loss projection. So we are really working with risk managers of large corporations, insurers, brokers, all around property risk exposure management, whether it is underwriting, risk management, prevention, etc. So it's very exciting because weather events, severe weather events are number one on the last World Economic Forum report, and it's not going to go away because of climate change. We see also a lot of traction from ESG teams of our clients to build their ESG reporting with Maptix. So it's a very exciting moment for us because it took us a number of years to build a sophisticated and advanced geospatial tool, and now we are at a good space because without a good geospatial technology, you cannot do much with geospatial data, right? So technology, as always, is an enabler, right? And when you have the good data and the good expertise, now you can really get very smart outcomes.
And you mentioned you are an aggregator. So I'm going to assume, do you do any internal modeling, forecasting?
We aggregate others' models, data, right? So we are able to integrate a number of formats into Maptix, could come into vectorized overlays, could be that augmentation of data from attributes. We have different ways to augment visually and or in a table the initial portfolio data of our clients. And then we have embedded analytics and different ways to calculate and visualize accumulations of any value across the world.
So whenever I hear the word accumulations, I always think, go back to my own reinsurance background. And do reinsurers, and you mentioned Munich Re's name, do use your data differently than insurers?
So we, Munich Re, in this partnership, we are integrating via API their Nathan climate risk dataset into Maptix for the benefit of our clients. So our clients can decide to use Munich Re, and they will be able to use it through Maptix, which is convenient because we match their data with the Munich Re data at each location level and across the portfolio in the filtering and data augmentation and so forth. So the convenience for us is we can bring to the fingertip of our client different data from different providers. I say I'm data agnostic, it's not completely true. I will bring on board, because it's a lot of work, only the data that is meaningful to my client, meaning coming from very renowned and good data provider. And then they can choose what they want to use. So if it's governmental data, it's free, because I have it for free. Doesn't mean it's easy to bring in a geospatial way. And if it is from a paid, a third-party provider, then there will be an additional fee that is determined by any provider for their data. For a lack of better word, we say that at the very beginning, we make your data dense, which is still true.
Yes, that's a nice way of putting it. And your business model is SaaS?
It's a SaaS agreement, yeah.
Who is the end user of your product in a company? Is it underwriter, actuary, portfolio manager, claims?
So today, we address a broad spectrum of end users, and we find that the people really working and the attraction really is with risk manager of large corporations, captive managers, ESG teams, then on the insurance side, property underwriter, and could be also people in the claims part because of the post information we can give and also real-time data. And then brokers, property brokers for their large corporate clients. And MGAs, of course, insurer, we're looking at more second-tier insurer MGAs, just because the procurement process is faster. And what we did also to help, we just got the SOC 2 certification, which is very important for us. It helps our client also go through their size or requirements. So,
and what, you know, you mentioned risk managers, corporations, insurers, brokers. Who is the lead user? Is it insurance companies that use it?
Yeah, at this time, we have a stronger portfolio within risk managers and brokers. And probably as we grow, we will get more and more wholesalers, MGAs, Lloyd's broker, and also some reinsurance brokers. So,
what is the spillover into the casualty business of your product?
We don't do casualty business because it's a geospatial tool. It's really interesting to look at markers, meaning like properties or physical locations where people have people. Some companies use it also for their people to look in terms of duty of care or what have you. So casualty, it's more linked to the operations, and the operations are stemming from a number of different facilities on the ground. So it's a bit of a different animal. It's like cyber. It's not something that is related to a small geographic area, generally speaking, right? So we also, it's very important as a software company and a new one to keep a type of a specific focus, because if you want to be everywhere, you're nowhere. And it's the different people in the company. So if you have to go to too many different people, it's better to start on one area. To give you an example on that, so we have a client in France and are using Maptix for a number of years. And they're an insurance broker. And they use Maptix for very large corporates. And they happen to do yacht business out of Monaco. And they ask us, could you have a version of Maptix to track yachts, which is a different thing, right? So because of that, we are building a new version of Maptix, and that's super exciting. And now we are integrating AIS data to capture moving buildings, right? At the time, yachts could be vessels and others. And we are going to track in a different version of Matrix. We have every 30 minutes adjusted position, and we can send alerts if there are some hurricane along the way, or if they are trespassing in waters that they are not supposed to navigate, and other applications. So yes, there could be other applications. We listen to the creativity of our clients, and if they want to venture with us a new development, we just go for it if we think there is a market.
Do you have any touch points with regulation, with regulators? Nothing.
No, because we are not selling insurance. We are not just giving a tool. We are not responsible of the data that is in the tool. It's either coming from our client or third-party provider. What we do is just allowing people to mix, match, slice and dice the data.
And the team that build Maptix, does your platform have a name? Maptix is some like a sub-name?
Maptix is the company, and it is the platform as well, yeah.
The people that build it, are they a mix of data scientists, computer scientists, geospecialists, or AI, or?
Yeah, a mix of everything, lots of... fabulous geeks. The first team was here in New York, and they are still alumni. Most of them are now in the Silicon Valley. And then we transferred to Cluj in Romania, where we had fabulous people, geospatial experts. And now we have a big development team based in Pune in India. And we have other people in different places for very specific expertise, especially in the geospatial world, to build maps and vectorize specific raster files and what have you. So we do have a strong team of experts to keep innovating in the product, and then of course to do the production and the maintenance, because we have high profile clients, so everything has to work well. And we just hired 2 months ago a very good designer out of the UK. So now we are implementing a new UI, if you will, to even get this little flavor to be completely sleek and still super intuitive. It was always the focus of Matrix: intuitive, fast, easy to implement, easy to use, and repeat.
And how big is your team?
So altogether, we are about 25 people now.
Okay. Spread between Pune and US, India and US.
Yeah. We just had a new client executive joining in January. He's based in San Francisco, coming from the insurance industry, which is really great. And we will keep growing. I like someone said one day to me, to go fast, you have to take your time. And I think it's true. I'm happy we took our time to be strong, to be relevant, and always listening to our client to keep growing.
Having someone in San Francisco and then the team in India means that you really work around the clock.
Well, absolutely. We are so proud. We can say we are open 23 hours a day. That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
And so are you, you are funded through revenue, through investors?
Now only revenue, and we have a positive EBITDA. I always say it's because I have only one brain and 2 hands. So I will dedicate my time to raise revenue rather than capital, which has been more effective for us so far. We might raise revenue now because we are in a different phase where we need to scale up. So, but we are at a different place in many ways. So now I'm seeing investor coming to us, which is of course a better dynamic by all means. Yeah.
And if you were to work, say, let's say you were to partner with an industry standard in geospatial data or use of those analytics, is there someone that you would think about partnering with?
We are partnering already with a few, and there are not so many companies in that world. So I think we are all kind of looking at one another and with kindness. And we are observing and we are in discussion. I don't want to give names, but we have a number of open conversations with a few companies, and we'll see where this goes.
I mean, the reason I ask is when I was pitching and working on Luminant, it was just so much harder to tackle the insurance market by yourself. If you have data analytics, any kind of partners, tech partners, which are embedded in the insurance ecosystem, you actually just fly quicker, you know. And even if there isn't someone in the market who's doing what you're doing, if there's someone else who's big and can give you space, it's just faster.
That's what we did with the integration of Munichre. Obviously, it's a very good name for us. We did TensorFlight. We have all the climate change data that is very visible today and is a huge driver. So we are obviously building one at a time some meaningful integration into Maptics.
Turning a little bit away from the professional and the Maptics angle to you, this podcast is about, it's the story of global entrepreneurs, you know, someone who was born in country X, moved to country Y. And maybe you can explain your journey a little bit in that.
So I was born and raised in the French Alps, and I studied in Paris, which was a big change already. And I married with a Asian descent man, which was also a coincidence. We met at IBM, actually. So coming from the French Alps, it was a bit of a stretch. And then we moved to New York, which was also something I'd never thought of in my life. And we moved for 3 years, and we are still there after 25 years. And in between, I had a tremendous opportunity to get to a C-suite job, to move for 7 years between Portugal and Brazil. So none of this was planned. It just happened. I think we took opportunities in our lives. And it has taught me really to be fearless in a way that you have to work with people, and for me to live with people with different cultural backgrounds and then different professional backgrounds. Everybody is talking more or less like me, English as a second language, and we all have to make this work. And I think it teaches one thing, is you have to adjust all the time and to adjust fast and to be both confident and humble. Because we are learning so many things from other people, from other countries. It's amazing. And I think it was a very good place to innovate. Because when you have to adjust constantly, you are constantly in innovation mode, right? You have to innovate as compared to what you used to do or to think even. So thought when I was reading your questions an hour ago, and you were asking me about innovation, and I think that really, in a way, innovation brings change, but the other way around, changes brings innovation. I think there is a dynamic between the two.
And, you know, even before starting Maptics, you were quite well traveled, you know, by many standards. So did Maptics like put you on a different map just in terms of adaptability with regard to cultures, on a different trajectory?
Well, the thing is, to develop Maptics, I have really leveraged my network. And I think that's key. When you restart as an entrepreneur, you have your backpack with your experience, your knowledge, and your network. And the network that is for me very international has been key to further develop the solution, because people would love what we do and will bring ideas and make suggestions, and also to develop the business. Because the first 10 clients are from your network, full stop. Accidentally, one came through the website. So you never know, it's good to have a website out there. So now we are really focusing on Europe, US, and by coincidence, we have a client in Singapore, because it's where is now the concern and the trigger on climate risk and climate change in the insurance business. So we are more targeting these markets for sure. And our clients are now between Europe, US, and like I was saying, we have one base in Singapore.
Do you have a, when you want to grow, do you want to grow US and Europe equally?
Well, I don't have preconceived idea. I grow where opportunities will come. We are too small today to have like plan, too rigid go-to-market or growth plan. We do as best as we can, as fast as we can, and we have to make things happen fast. Yeah, you can relate, right? I cannot spend time to make plans. I mean, I have to when I meet the advisory board or some investor. But, you know, at the end of the day, you do what you can. You entertain a number of conversations and you never know which one will finalize first. It's a journey and it's full of surprise, both sides.
That I agree. And
right, yeah. And you have to be strong, resilient, to appreciate your success, because we do have success. You keep worrying on the zillion of other things you have to do, but I think you have to appreciate what has been done, because we realize we achieve a lot, and you cannot. I'm not reading any more news about such company raising such amount in million, billions, because it's just a few stories around, and I think we need to avoid distraction to be efficient.
You are a female founder. That is a badge of pride. Because there are not many people doing it, and sometimes it also has its drawbacks. Is there something specific that you would like to tell the audience about what it means to be a female founder?
Well, the challenge I see are the same I have seen as being a female on the board, a female executive, and same old challenges in many dimensions. So I think we need always to be very strong to keep our professional reputation and network. For me, things are easier now that I would say my children are raised, because first I had also to raise children, and as a woman, you want to have it all and you cannot have it all, but you can make it all work. So we have to work on us to be well organized, but also to embrace good and forget about perfection. Mm-hmm. Because to strive as younger professional, we were on perfection to, showcase our capabilities, because we always had to do more and better. At the moment when you are up there, you have also to do things otherwise and to move faster and think at the outcome. You have to take the opportunities. Don't ask yourself, am I capable, not capable? Just go with the flow. Do it. I think the network is very important. Obviously, it's more difficult for women to raise funds. That's why I was not too eager to do it, for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons is that at VC firm, there are much less women. It's a fact. So women, I don't have the numbers handy, but are raising much less capital than men. And at the same time, as a fact, companies led by women are more profitable. So there is always that disconnect, that it's just fact, cannot explain so well. So co-founder is a man, so at least we are a balanced team in that regard. And you know, challenges are everywhere. I think when you are a good professional, you keep your reputation, your network, opportunities will come, and they will come stronger. Just have to keep strong. Don't take things personal. And keep your head high and keep moving.
That's excellent advice. I like that. And to the... I've started having this question on the show to all my guests. Are you an entrepreneur or an innovator? And it's up to you to decide what these things mean.
Yeah, so I never thought about that. And I never woke up thinking, I'm going to reinvent myself tomorrow or next week, right? I'm going to become an entrepreneur or an innovator. I think like all of us, I just had to adjust to changes and opportunities that are coming along in your life with no or little notice. So you have to be both in a way. What I think as being a bit of innovator and a bit of entrepreneur, and just because it happened, the big changes for me, as coming from corporate world, is one, the attitude. Because at the end, what you decide will have a direct impact on the outcome of your business, which is not the case if you work for a big corporation. Okay, your decisions are like not making a difference. So for us, it's like instant reward or not. And the speed. The speed, the time has a completely different value. For us, it's a precious commodity. You have to do big things in no time. And when you work and when you were mentioning partnership, I'm always very hesitant. And I haven't and probably will not try to partner with much bigger company, because that's the big issue. Okay, they have all the time and you do not have the time. And that's a big issue. But the silver lining is that I think it is fascinating to be part of the transformation of this industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. And you said, you know, you make the data dance. That's what you said in the beginning, right? Yes. And I think it's, you said it correctly, you have to find the partner who dances at the same pace as you. And it's very important. So, and on an ending note, what is your vision for the use of geospatial data in insurance? Is there anything that you really want to see in the next, say, 3 to 4 years that you think might be a stretch, but if you push for it, it can happen? Is there anything specific that you want to let us know?
Geospatial data can be a huge enabler for everything around climate and weather that touches people around the world. So like everything else, the data sharing would be great. And we are still in a world where there are a lot of silos on data, and data is expensive, and is very expensive, so it is accessible with the right tool and the right budget. So hopefully this will be made available at a larger scale, because it could help for agriculture, obviously everything around climate change should also be embraced by societies, and it's insane today to see the amount of money in buildings that are being built in places where will be flooded, will be under the water. So today, with a combination of geospatial data, AI, scientists, climatologists, there is so much that could be done for more prevention and to keep insurance sustainable on the long run. Because what's happening is not sustainable, because one day we see already that there are a number of places that cannot buy flood insurance anymore. So what's going to happen? And I saw that recently in France, like some cities could not buy any more flood insurance. Yeah? So that's, I think it's a concern, how to make geospatial data more accessible, more used, and not just by insurer, but by people, but the society, by businesses. Everything that also can come in a map is also very interesting for duty of care as a company that has employees around the world. I'm thinking now for Maptics to integrate political risk data, medical data, not only like maps, right? So there are some medical risk or political risk in certain countries, but real time, because things happening, we have seen it, pandemic, terrorism, etc. So there are many things you can grab with geospatial data. On a map, you can see things in a more powerful, impactful way. And I think that's very interesting. And obviously, it's already used for event response management, but it can be used even better.
I really like that vision, because you say you want to use it to make insurance more sustainable. That's really the way to go. So I am very encouraged by my chat with you. It's really wonderful to hear success stories, especially around data, and how, you know, we're just starting the data journey for the insurance industry. You know that, I know that. So the possibilities are really endless, and I am so proud and happy that you are spearheading the change.
Thank you. You know, I would not say successful story. For me, it's a fascinating journey. It's one at a time. And I don't know how to measure success, but we are still there. We love what we do. Our clients love what we do. We are very close to our clients. And I think at the end of the day, the human part is the most interesting part, is we feel we are helping them. So we are contributing a little bit to sustainability and to transformation. And we'll see later if we are successful. What does it mean? We are happy. We love what we do. And we have setbacks, successes, and, you know, we embrace each and.
Lovely. On that note, thank you very much, Jacqueline, for your time talking about you, about Maptics. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.